Okay, so today I'm going to talk about higher spin symmetry in gravity and string. So I'm visiting here for the entire semester. So if you're interested in the topic, I hope we can talk more. So I learned the topic from my collaborators listed here. Right, so let's first briefly explain what I mean by higher spin symmetry. So we know that massless particles source is gauge symmetry. And massless particles are labeled by their spins. So for example, the photon, which has spin 1, is source of U1 gauge symmetry. And gravitino has spin 3.5, is source of supersymmetry. And graviton has spin 2, and source of diffeomorphism. So for the massless particle with spin greater than 2, I'll call them higher spin particle. And the gauge symmetry they source will be called higher spin gauge symmetry. So why are we interested in this? So it appears in, roughly speaking, in these three areas. So first, it can couple to gravity, so which give us a higher spin gravity. And the corresponding holography is kind of interesting. So it's simpler than the traditional string holography that we're more familiar with. And it's a weak duality. And also, there's no need for supersymmetry. So both of these are very different from the traditional string holography. Also, this higher spin symmetry is a subsector of the string symmetry. So maybe understanding this will help us understand string theory better. And also, it appears as a symmetry of many interesting QFT systems, in particular those form the string theory. So so the talk will be, I'll cover these three areas here. So let's first briefly review the history of the higher spin theory. So people started the by looking at the massless higher spin particle in flat space. So the first study is the Fong So in 78. He studied the free higher spin theory. So a free spin as a particle is given by this totally symmetric double chislet rank S tensor. So the gauge symmetry it gives is given by this totally symmetric rank S minus 1 tensor as this traceless condition. So this double traceless and this traceless condition are important for the action principle to work, and also to give this correct degrees of freedom counting. So this is the degrees of freedom for this spin S field. This is the spin and this is the dimension. So we see that we produce the correct counting for the spin 1, spin 2, and also for all the spins in three dimension, this number is 0. So this will be important later, meaning that there's no propagating degrees of freedom in three dimension for all the higher spin particles as well. And then people try to study the interacting case. So in particular, they try to couple to gravity. But so they managed to couple to gravity non-minimally. But somehow, they just couldn't make a sensible theory by coupled to gravity minimally. So actually, there are some various no-go theorems telling you that actually can't do this. So I'll just mention one of these. The Kolmogorov-Mandula theorem says that if you look at the interacting theory in flat space, if you look at the S matrix, you see that it cannot have the higher spin symmetry. So how can we evade these no-go theorems? So Vasiliev has this idea that you can instead look at the anti-de-Sitter or de-Sitter space. So in anti-de-Sitter or de-Sitter, there's no S matrix. So the no-go theorem that based on the S matrix no longer applies. Also, there's other no-go theorem says that if you want to couple the higher spin, if you want to couple the high spin particle to gravity minimally, then you see that the high spin symmetry will be broken unless you write down this correction term with infinitely many higher derivative terms. So, but now in ADS for the de-Sitter space, we have this ADS lens. So this can serve as a expansion parameter to control this higher degree terms. So at each order, this system is local again. So we can get it's no longer non-local theory, so we can get a quasi-local theory. So the resulting theory is sometimes called Vasiliev system. So it lives in ADS, where the de-Sitter space, And the spectrum is, has one field per spin from spin 2 to infinity. And it's an extension of the Einstein gravity. So in particular, the graviton coupled to an infinite power of a massless higher spin particle. And the diffeomorphism is embedded in the higher spin gauge symmetry. And the corresponding geometry is the extension of the Riemannian geometry. And the most important is there's no Lagrangian. So the theory is giving us a system of equation motions. So before I explain the in detail the Vasiliev gravity, so let's first give you a sense of what is the higher spin theory look higher spin gravity looks like by giving you a simplest example. So we know that the 3D Einstein gravity in the negative with a negative cosmological constant is classically equivalent to two copies of Trin-Simon theory. So it's equivalent to a topological theory also by this degrees of topological theory. Also, you can see from this degrees of freedom counting. So now from if you want to go from the Einstein gravity to pure high spin gravity, you just replace this 2 by n. So this action is these two copies of Trin-Simon with the two gauge field in the SLN. So now if you want to translate to the metric-like formalism, you just define your field bound and spin connection as before. And this metric is also defined as before. So for the higher spin field, so inside the trace, you just have more than two dry bind here. And you make a totally symmetric. Here. So if I don't want to translate into the metric-like formalism, how do I see that this SLN Trin-Simon is a higher spin gravity? So remember the Einstein gravity part is a SL2 part. So to see the spectrum, you choose a SL2 subalgebra from this SLN. And so that will be your gravity sector. And then you decompose the remaining SLN in terms of this SL2. So that will give you all this other spin SU. So this choice is called the embedding. So the choice is embedding depends on the rank N. So but for O N, there's a principal embedding. There's a choice called principal embedding. So the spectrum here is you have a one field per spin. And so all the way to from 2 to n. So here I listed the two spin, two spin, three spin, four field. Right. So how about the classical solutions? So I mentioned that there's no propagating degrees of freedom. But the same as a pure Einstein gravity in ADS, you can have a non-trivial classical solution, for example, black hole. So remember in Einstein gravity, we can define black hole by saying that it's a configuration with a singularity and the event horizon. And the singularity is behind the horizon, so the cosmic censorship. So, but to define a black hole in higher spin gravity, we can't use this this definition because the metric is now coupled to the higher spin field. So both this, the notion of the singularity and event horizon are not gauge event concept anymore. Right, so how do we define this black hole in higher spin gravity? Right, so in this Trin-Simon theory, it's actually not a problem because the cosmic censorship is just saying that the solution we see has to be smooth. You can't see the singularity. So in the gauge symmetry, the smoothness condition is just the holonomy has to be trivial around any shrinkable cycle. So now when take if your shrinkable, look at this solid torus, if the shrinkable cycle is a time direction, then you solve this holonomy condition that will give you the highest speed black holes. And when the shrinkable cycle is space, that will this give you a class of solution, the so-called quantical surplus solution. So this you can think of as a higher speed version of the SOMA ADS. So these two classes of solution are related by the S transformation. Also from here, you can also get the SL2 the family of solutions. Right. So after this, I can explain the Vasiliev higher spin gravity. So for the ADS3, it's easier. You just start from this two copies of SLN Trin-Simons. You replace this SLN by this differently algebra called the HS lambda. So the HS means higher spin. So remember this SLN is generated by a generator with the spin from 2 to n. So here, this HS lambda is the infinite dimension Lie algebra with the generator from 2 to all the way to infinity. And this lambda is a real parameter. So, but if you take this set lambda to be integer n, this will truncate to S n. So you can think of this HS lambda as a continuous version of the S n. Right? And then after you do this, you couple this this HS lambda transformation theory to a complex massive scalar. So this will give you the propagating degrees of freedom. So for the higher dimension, it's much more complicated. So there the scalar will be part of your higher spin multiplet. So you can't decouple this scalar. And but similar to the transformation, so it's based on the frame-like field. It's a high spin generalization of this field bind and the spin connection. Yeah, for higher dimension, there's no Lagrangian. So then how do we quantize the theory? So the idea is if you can find the holographic dual of this higher spin theory, we can understand the quantum higher spin gravity form is a holographic dual. So the higher spin holography is between a gravity with a higher spin gauge symmetry in the d plus one dimension antideciliar space. So the dual CFT will be a CFT in d dimension with the higher spin currents. So here are two simplest example of this higher spin holography. So in the ADS4, it's due to the Vasiliev system, it's due to the ON model. And in ADS3, it's due to the WNK minimum model. So I will explain this later. But before we look at these examples, we can already see some important features of this higher spin holography. So first of all, it's a very quick duality. So to see this, you can write this gauge theory parameters in terms of the gravity parameters. So for the traditional string duality, this is the weak gravity region. This ADS radius is much bigger than the string length, which is much bigger than the Planck length. So in this parameter range, the field theory side is strongly coupled. So for the high spin theory, we want this string length to be much bigger than the ADS length. So correspondingly, you can see that the field theory side is weakly coupled. So in particular, that means that there's a parameter range for this higher spin holography where both sides are weak. So you can check this duality in more detail, maybe even prove it more easily. And also in this duality, the supersymmetry is not required. You can have the supersymmetry version, but that's not necessary. So also this is also partially because this is a much simpler holography than the regular one. So the safety deal is in dimension higher than ADS and safety 2. The safety deal is free if you don't want to break the supersymmetry. Sorry, if you don't want to break the higher spin symmetry. So you can understand this statement as an ADS version of the Kolmann-Mandula theorem. So with all these interesting features, there's still some potential problems. So one, the most glaring one is that without the Lagrangian, it's not clear how do you really quantize the Vasiliev theory and check the duality. And also this quantical surplus solution that I mentioned before, that's actually caused some problems in this duality. So in the bulk, it's a non-perturbed state, but on the boundary side, in the CFT side, they correspond to some Lie states. So there's some argument on how to deal with this by saying that you can take a different limit than the Tuff limit, but it's not completely satisfactory. But if you can embed this Vasiliev gravity into the string theory, which is a UV complete theory, then hopefully you can understand this whole thing from the string theory. Maybe it just tells you that this Vasiliev gravity is not really a complete quantum theory. So next I will discuss how to embed this higher spin gravity into the string theory. So we know that string theory has an infinite number of massive higher spin particles, infinite towers. So roughly speaking, the mass is in proportion to the inverse of string length. So now you're speaking, when you want to, if you want to take the tensionless limit, if you want all this mass to become massive particle to become massless, you can take the tensionless limit, you can take the ratio of this string length with the ADS length to be infinity. But quantum mechanically, you can only reach one, you can't reach that large. So then when you take this tensionless limit, the massive hard spin particles will all become massless. So you see, so all this results a much bigger symmetry than your hard spin symmetry. So I'll call this string symmetry, the symmetry, all this much bigger hard spin symmetry that's sourced by all the particles inside the string theory. And I'll reserve the name of higher spin symmetry for the subalgebra that's sourced by the leading Roget trajectory. So the spectrum for this higher spin symmetry is you have one field per spin. Right, so we take the tensionless limit. And now if you want to see as much symmetry as possible, there's one more thing you can do. You can look at the ADS3 communications. So you can either see it from the boundary CFT or the worksheet. The worksheet. So there's this symmetry enhancement when you go from the bulk ADS to the boundary CFT too. So we already this part we already know from the Einstein gravity. So the bulk isometry is these two copies of SL2. So I only write one here, SL2. So when you go to the boundary, you perform this Born-Hornell procedure. So basically, you just extend this mode on both sides all the way to infinity. So then this SL2 part becomes very small. So now for the higher spin, the bulk symmetry is this HS lambda. So as I mentioned before, so there's a spin from 2 to all the way to infinity, all the way to infinity. And this mode abounded by the spin here inside this wedge. So now, if you do the high spin version of the Born-Hornell procedure, all these modes also extended all the way to infinity from both sides. So you see, this is the result is W infinity algebra. So we already see that when you go to the ADS3, instead of higher dimension, there's a large, very big symmetry enhancement. So now if you look at the string theory itself, so there's evidence that if you look at in this tensionless limit, it's an older version. The worksheet theory is of the string in this background is a symmetric orbit for T4. So that means that roughly the string symmetry should be the chiral algebra of this the CFT. So without describing in detail what this means mathematically, I can already show you that the string symmetry is actually much, much bigger than the higher spin symmetry. So roughly speaking, this the conformal symmetry counts the partition of integer. So this is the character, vacuum character of the Virasoro algebra. So roughly speaking, it counts it's the generating function of this partition. And the higher spin symmetry is counts the plane partition. And this string symmetry is counts this thing called double partition. So double partition of integer n means that you first partition this n into two smaller integers, and then you look at the partition of these two small integers, and you count how many ways you can do that. So this the character of this. So there should be some numerical factors here, but that's not important. So this exponent here, this p, is just this partition number here. So this give you the generating function here, but this suspension is not important. So what's important is how fast this number goes as you at large n. So for the partition. So inside the exponent is the square root of n. So for the plane partition, inside this is n to the 2/3. So for the double partition, this is n. Right. So to make you appreciate how big this is, why is this much bigger, let's do the following exercise. So let's remember that the partition of an integer, you can represent it by this Young diagram. And this generating function is given by this conformal character of the conformal symmetry. And the plane partition is a three-dimensional generalization of the partition. So meaning that you can represent this by a stacking of the three-dimensional boxes here. So to count this generating function, you can just do it by hand. For example, there's one vacuum, this one here, and this prefactor one here means there's one way to put one box there. And there are two ways to stack, sorry, there are three ways to stack two boxes. And six ways to stack three boxes. So you can just keep going, and you get this Micron-Hom function here. So now let's compare this Micron-Hom function with this partition and the solid partition. So here, a solid partition is just a four-dimensional generalization of the partition. So you see this is already faster than this. This is three-fourths. And you also see that there's no closed formula for the generating function. So actually, the Micron-Hom has this famous conjecture for the generating function of the partition for any dimension. So this is his guess. So this D is the dimension here. So for partition and plane partition, which is the dimension 2D and 3D, so it works. And for the 4D, so the formula is here. So you can expand it. So, and then you have to check this by actually counting. So he counted by hands, and he counted to order 5. And then he see that it matched all the 5. And then he just declared victory. Right, so I actually, even for now, this generating function for the for partition higher than dimension 4 is still not known. But people get the asymptotics. So we see that for the D dimension partition, it goes like this. So you see that for higher D is, the higher the dimension, the faster it goes. But you also see that it can never be as fast as a string symmetry. Right. So now I can explain one example of this embedding of the string theory, higher spin symmetry theory inside the string theory. So for that, you need supersymmetry. So so the example here, this is a large input 4. Example of the higher spin theory in this background. So from the string side, when you take the tensionless limit, you get this background. So even if you start from the same background, when you take the tensionless limit, it forces you onto this background. And then if you want to match these two sides, you have to take the free limit of this higher spin theory. So then you have the same background here. For the dual CFT, this is given by this ugly looking rational, this coset CFT. And in this free limit, it becomes much simpler, which is UN output of T4. So then this embedding is just induced by the embedding of the SN plus 1 into this UN field. Right, so then there's a question is whether we can characterize this string asymmetry mathematically. So I'm not sure whether this has a very good answer yet, but in the so one idea that might work or might not is that you can look at this is. So this is supposed to mean the moduli space of string theory. So when you go to this different class, you can see different symmetries manifest. So for example, at some point you see the high spin symmetry, at some other point you see the incubability. So one idea might be that whether by understanding all these sub-algebra better, you can have a more unified way to understand this different realization. So I want to mention this integrabilities because similar to the higher spin symmetry, they both have an infinite number of conserved currents. So this is we're not that far yet, but in the process of looking at this, we noticed some very interesting relation between this W1 plus infinity at this Young-Lin algebra called alpha Young-Lin algebra 1. So to explain this relation, let's go back to this W1 plus infinity. So I write out all the modes here. So the horizontal direction is the spin, and this vertical direction is the mode here. So you see that this is all the modes here for the in the W1 plus infinity, you group all these modes horizontally by their spin. But you can also do the following. You take all this this vertical direction of the all this zero mode, you make them you define those as one field. And this minus one direction, you define this as another field, and the plus one. So this will be the zero mode and the raising operator and the lowering operator. And then you allow them to multiply. So then these three columns are enough to generate all these other columns. So the tilde here, it just means that this is a you can have there's actually subleading corrections here. So these three fields I define that way will be the three generators for this alpha Young-Lin. So this is the definition. So it's just this one page. And there is three parameters, H1, H2, H3, with this condition. And there's only this one important function here is this cubic rational function. And it's invariant under the S3 permutation. So this is a defining relation here. We have some initial condition and zero relation. So as you may have already guessed from the way I introduced this alpha Young-Lin algebra 1, is that it's actually isomorphic to the universal enveloping algebra of the W1 plus infinity. So this is already show some advantage of looking at this alpha Young-Lin algebra 1 over the W1 plus infinity. So as I explained earlier, this W1 plus infinity has infinite number of fields. You need a generator from spin 1 all the way to infinity. But for the alpha Young-Lin algebra 1, there's only three. And for the defining relations, so if you want the primary basis, the defining relation of this W infinity is nonlinear. And also, you can't really write them down once and for all. You can only fix them order by order by the Jacobi identity. But for the alpha Young-Lin algebra 1, this one page definition is all there is. So it's linear and you can just write it down. It's given explicitly. And then as I explained later, this W infinity has a hidden S3 invariance. So, but for the alpha Young-Lin algebra 1, it's manifest. And then this alpha Young-Lin algebra 1 has a very, very nice representation in terms of the plane partitions. So the McMahon function I mentioned earlier, so those are the generating function for the plane partition in the vacuum module. So by vacuum, I just mean this, the first, the box you start by putting box in an empty corner. So that's a trivial representation, but the interesting one are those with non-trivial asymptotics here. So to define a representation here, you give three Young diagrams. So those will be the asymptotic along these three directions. So once you fix these three Young diagrams, you look at the minimal configurations. So those will be your ground state, so here. And then you add more boxes. So those will be your descendants. So this will be a level 7 descendants of this particular representation. So this plane partition is actually, I think it's very pretty representation of this upper Young-Lin child one. So each plane partition configuration is an eigenstate of this zero mode. So this is actually one family of infinitely many modes here. And the eigenfunction here is also it's very easy to write down. So basically, each box inside your plane partition contributes one factor of this precisely function that I mentioned in the definition of the affine Young-Lin. And so it's this precisely function shifted by this coordinate function of the, labeled by this coordinate of this plane partition. And then this raising operator just add one box in all the places that where you can add. And this F just remove one box in all the places that where you can remove. And this coefficient is only depends on this eigenfunction. So and you can check that this is a representation of the algebra. So then we know that these two so the universal invariant algebra of this double symmetry is isomorphic to the alpha Young-Lin. And alpha Young-Lin has this plane partition as a representation. So by these two, you know that we can also use plane partition to describe the representation of the W1 plus infinity. So so usually the W infinity, the representation of W infinity are labeled by this cosine representation, which is given by the two Young diagrams. So basically, this is the most generic cosine representation, lambda plus, lambda minus. So this will just correspond to the two out of three syncotic directions. So basically, there as a plane partition, there are these three types. So the trivial representation, so that will correspond to the vacuum in the Vasiliev theory. And if here, if you have one side is non-trivial, that will be the non-perturbed direction, non-perturbed states in the Vasiliev system. And if you have both directions non-trivial, that will be the non-perturbed states. So here, this one, the one with all three directions non-trivial, that one you actually is not easy to see from the W the algebra. So then you can check that the for all these cases, I mean this is the most difficult one. This generating function of this plane partition reproduce the character of the W1 plus infinity. So now why are this interesting? So let me just mention that this way of computing the generating the character this way by just counting, but just looking at the generating function of the corresponding plane partition is much easier to use than the formula the formula we're familiar with. And also, I'll explain this S3 symmetry in more detail here. So this W infinity algebra has this cosine realization. It's labeled by this two integer n and k. So it's equivalent to the labeling by the central charge and the coupling. So there's a hidden S3 symmetry here. So under this S3 symmetry, you get this five images here. And under this symmetry, the central charge is invariant, but these two coupling have this only two images here. So what does it mean? It means that if you fix the central charge, there are three different W infinity with three different lambda that are isomorphic. So this three different looking algebra, they are actually isomorphic. But this is but you see this one, this algebra is actually the boundary algebra of the Vasiliev higher spin gravity. Because so there you do a infrasocular reduction for Mirbach algebra, and then you get this this boundary algebra. And here, this W infinity with lambda equals to n, that's what you see directly from the boundary W and K equals that. So the fact that these two are actually the same algebra is actually crucial for showing that the Vasiliev theory in ADS3, which is limited by this one, is this the higher spin the safety deal is given by this coset. So, but under this S3 transformation, so this is actually quite non-trivial. As we see earlier, this one is related to the UV, the other is related to IR. It's quite hard to check and prove. But this S3 symmetry is actually manifest in this alpha Youngian language in these spaces. So basically, you just remember there's two parameters. So H1, H2, H3 subject to the sum of them being zero. So under this S3 transformation, it just permutes the three integers. Sorry, not integers, the three parameters. And correspondingly, you permute the three directions, namely the three Young diagrams along these three directions. You do this S3 permutation. So there's actually more advantage of using this alpha Youngian basis to study this W1 plus infinity. So as I explain later, it's easier to study truncation. But let me explain, this is also useful if you want to construct more algebras by the gluing procedure. So so our original motivation was that given that this bosonic triangle was so useful, we wanted to define some higher the supersymmetric version of this. So the one we started is the simplest one, the INCRU2 version of the W infinity. So for the bosonic case, so in this triangle we have the all three corners we know. We just needed to connect them. So, but for this supersymmetric case, we only know this corner. We don't know what is. We didn't know what the other this representation should be, and what is the alpha Youngian should be. So, what we did is we look at this INCRU2 W infinity algebra and just look at its representation, and we notice that the representation of this symmetric one. You can given by a pair of plane partitions joined by one along one directions. So we call them twin plane partitions. And then you can just imitate what happens in the bosonic triangle by constructing this algebra by demanding that they have to acts on this twin plane partition faithfully. And also you fix it partially by looking at the, by demanding that they have to reproduce the correct W charges. So roughly speaking, so to do all this, it's important to move to the alpha Youngian basis. So in the algebra, for each vertex, the algebra is W1 plus infinity, and you change to the alpha Youngian basis, and at each vertex, it's the representation is given by a plane partition. So now you take this vertex and have this diagram. So at the level of the algebra, for each internal leg, you have you need additional operators, and at the level of the representation. So this internal leg would be the bi module with respect to the two subalgebras at these two corners. So this bi module of course will give the non-trivial boundary condition for the two vertices. So now for this internal leg, for the additional operator that you add, you can choose the different conformal dimensions. And for the representation, you can choose the relative representations. So basically, that gives you a two parameter family of this blue algebra. So the most striking one is that this, you can fix this algebra relation just by demanding that this algebra act nicely on the train plane partition. So if you do this, so remember when we did this, the supersymmetric one, you still need some information there. But once you know how to do this, you actually can get a two-parameter family of new algebras. So that you can think of this as a two-parameter family of the generalization of the angle two supersymmetric W infinity. So all of them has this twin plane partition as representations. Sure, whether this is too fast or not. Any questions?
So your picture of the twin plane partitions reminds me of a study of the Afanyangi in GL2 by Wong and Kukov. It's the toroid diagram. So is that related to the Afanyangi in GL2?
Right, that's a guess, but we haven't showed it yet. So the guess is that you can obtain the Afanyangi GL2 by gluing two copies of Afanyangi GL1. But yeah, that's on our to-do list, but we haven't managed it. Yeah, I can explain to you later in detail why we are stuck. Yeah, and any other questions? So we're hoping that this might find some application also in other places. For example, this this work of David and Miroslav here. So if you look at this fibrin system here, you have a 1D fine, 1S fine, and 1-1 brain, and you have three different junctions at these three corners. So you have three integers here, the L, M, N. So and then for the whole system, you do a Kapuscin Weissmann twist, and then all the degrees are localized onto this Y junction. And now if you look at this corner of the Y junction, there, see the BPS operator form the VOA. So their work shows that the this is actually a truncation labeled by these three integers of this W1 plus infinity. So, and then later, Rapchak and Prochaska showed that if you glue this finite truncation of this W1 plus infinity, so each is from one corner, you should get the chiral algebra of this Y junction web. So then in their study they use a double algebra basis, but actually it's much computationally easier if you do this in terms of the Afanyangi basis and use the plane partition. So what we did here is that we proposed that you should use this Afanyangi basis instead of the W infinity basis. And then you can also first glue and then truncate. So in particular, this one, this two-parameter family of this gluing construction. So what we show that if you just do this blindly, you take this pair of a plane partition and ask the most generic algebra it can give you. Actually, the geometry that in the end you get are precisely just this three toric diagram with two vertices. So also, if you look at this in detail, there are four constraints from this gluing of this twin plane partition. And these four constraints match one-to-one to the four strings when you build this PQ web here. So, I probably went too fast, but nevertheless, what I talk today. So it's possible to define the higher spin gravity. So but you can only do this in the anti-decider or decider. And I explained the simplest example given by the SLN and SLN Simons. And I also explained the high-spin holography is special in that it's simpler than the traditional stringy holography. And it's weak, and there's no need for supersymmetry. And then I explained why you want to embed this vacillative high-spin gravity into the string theory. So, and when you want to do that, you need to take this tensionless limit of string theory. And then in the process, you see this large string asymmetry. And the vacillative high-spin symmetry is a sub-algebra of the string asymmetry given by the leading registry vector. And then you can also, you should also go to the ADI3, where you see this huge symmetry enhancement. And then I explained this bosonic triangle. I hope I say, I try to convince you that the advantage of using this alpha Yangian basis for the study of the W1 plus infinity, and in particular the plane partition. So once you have the bosonic one, you can glue this to have many new W algebras and the Yangian alpha Yangian algebras. So in the process, you see that the plane partition is also very useful in the gluing process. So roughly speaking, it gives you a way to visualize the Fock space and the algebra. You can define it by, you can fix the entire algebra by demanding that they act on this set of plane partition faithfully. So finally, what's the implication of all this? Whether there's any deeper relation between the high speed symmetry and the integral structure? And also, what would be the best mathematical description for the string symmetry? Or whether this actually, the existence of this string symmetry, whether it can explain the existence of all these dualities inside string symmetry. Yeah, that's it. Sorry, I went too fast. I was very worried that so.
We can have a question from the students. A question from the students? From the general audience?
So, when you explain the relation between W infinity and the Alphan Yangian, you regroup the how you mode expand the operators. So that it seems to me that that's suggesting that it's probably natural to introduce two holomorphic coordinates, and so that you can expand it in one coordinate or the other. So is there any like four-dimensional way of looking at this algebra?
For this one, I don't. You mean you want to have more than one coordinates here? You want to have more than just you want to have a different one? For this particular case, the answer is no. But you mean whether that would buy you something else?
Or mathematically, probably natural to get the whole like two-dimensional this table by expanding the like. By expanding in both directions.
But we actually don't need all these other modes anymore because we allow them to multiply. So all these other modes you can get by multiplying this with itself.
Right.
So for, I'm not sure what that would lead to, but in this case is is. Doesn't seem to be necessary, and also the algebra here it depends crucially on the fact that there's only this one spectral parameter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is also crucial. We can do plane partition there. There's just one parameter that control this pose. Maybe some bigger algebras, but not this one.
Any questions? You think it's pretty clear?